I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to look together at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, this is what we read. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he didn't consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So if you're just joining us this morning, we're so glad that you're here with us, and it's just so awesome to hear this story again told by the kids, and we're just so thrilled to have you here with us at West End Church this morning. But as we've been walking together these weeks leading up to Christmas, we've been looking together at the way in which God's hope of Christmas shines light in the darkness. We've been looking together at this, the ways in which we experience the darkness and the brokenness and the confusion of this world and of this life, and how Christmas and the hope of Christmas shines through that. And so we began by seeing that there was one voice, one story cutting through the chaos, one voice, one story of God's hope that reaches all the way back to the very beginning of the story, when God promised that everything was going to be set right, when he promised that through the line of Abraham that all people on earth would be blessed, when God promised that a descendant of David was going to reign on the throne forever. And we saw that one voice, that one story promising the message of God's hope shining through the darkness. And then last week we saw God beginning to implement that story, God bringing it about through Mary and through Mary saying yes to God and being a part of what God was doing in her life and in this world. But we saw that that invitation to Mary wasn't just for Mary. That the way that Luke tells us that story, that it makes it very clear that that invitation is for every one of us too, that we have the opportunity to say yes to God, that it's time to say yes to what God is doing in this world and to joining the work of the Holy Spirit in sharing that gospel, in sharing the love of Jesus Christ and the joy that we have through Jesus with those who need to hear it. But this week, as we consider that chaos and that darkness that sometimes we need the hope of Christmas in, we recognize that sometimes that darkness, that chaos, that confusion is something that happens outside of us, right? Sometimes there are things that happen in this world that just are not the way that they're supposed to be. There are things that happen in this world that we experience injustice that shouldn't happen. The impact of sin and brokenness. There are things that happen outside of us that we need the hope of Christmas for. But sometimes the darkness and the brokenness and the chaos and confusion that we need hope for is chaos and confusion of our own making. Because sometimes what we need hope for, sometimes what we need the light of Christmas to shine in the darkness is the darkness of the choices that we have made. Because some of us have found that the choices that we've made have led us down a path that is less than healthy, that is less than the fullness of life that we could be experiencing. And we need the joy and the love of God to break through the darkness of our lives and to invite us into the fullness of life that God offers us. Sometimes that darkness, that chaos, that confusion, that brokenness is of our own making. But sometimes that chaos, that confusion that's of our own making is just plain and simple that. It's confusion. It's not that we're doing something wrong, but it's that we're missing out on what could be even better. Sometimes we need a divine interruption in the midst of our daily routines to make us come face to face with the ways in which God has something even better for us. Sometimes we think that we have our life all together. We think that we have our life in order. Right, we've got our good retirement fund balance. We have a healthy balance in our checking account. We have a stable job. We have a stable family. Everything is going just fine. We have our life perfectly in order, don't we? And we need a divine interruption to help us see that God has something even better in store for us. Sometimes we think that we are living with a healthy relationship with our spouse or with our kids or with our friends or with our family, and we think that we're doing okay. We think that we're trying pretty hard to be a good spouse. We're trying pretty hard to be a good parent. We're trying pretty hard to be a good child or a good sibling or a good cousin or a good friend, and we need a divine interruption to break through the rhythm of our life to help us see that there's something even better that God has in store for us. Sometimes we feel like we are doing our best to follow God and we are walking this path of obedience to God as faithfully and as best as we can, and yet God is going to just subtly shake us from that rhythm and help us see that there is a different path, a different direction that God has in store for us. Sometimes we need a divine interruption. Sometimes we think that we don't need that deeper relationship with God. Because on our own, we're doing just fine. On our own, we have our life pretty together. On my own, I can take care of my own affairs, my own order. And sometimes God is going to shake us of that, and God is going to interrupt the daily routine of our lives to help us see that we need to depend fully, entirely, and ultimately on Him. Sometimes we need a divine interruption. Tap somebody on the shoulder sitting near you and say to them, I need a divine interruption. Come on. Tap the person on the other side of you. I know they were your second choice, but tap them on the shoulder. Say, I need a divine interruption. We're going to keep practicing at this, and we're going to get there eventually. Because friends, what we're going to see this morning in the story of Joseph is that the problem with Joseph and what Joseph needs is a divine interruption to break through the confusion of his life. But we'll get there. Joseph finds out that his betrothed, his engaged wife, is pregnant with a child that isn't his. And understandably, Joseph is upset about this. But then we find out this, right? In Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, we find out this. It says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. Other translations say he was a righteous man. And he didn't want to expose Mary to public disgrace, so he had in mind to divorce her quietly. And what struck me as I was studying this text this week and I was preparing for this message, it hit me that Joseph is doing his best. Joseph is trying to be faithful to God's law. He's trying to honor the heart and the spirit of the relationship that God wants us to have with him. Right? Joseph has a couple of different options when he finds out that the woman to whom he is supposed to be married is pregnant with a child who isn't his. Right? In this day and age, in the culture and the time in which Joseph and Mary are living, Joseph has every legal right to take Mary into the public law courts and to expose the fact that she is pregnant with somebody who isn't his child. He has every right in this culture, in this time in which the Bible takes place, Joseph has every right to present Mary for public stoning and have her life taken. But Joseph wants to be faithful to the law of God, and so he decides that he is going to just call things off quietly. He's not going to expose her to public disgrace. He wants to honor the spirit and the heart of God's law. He's faithful to God's law. He's trying to do his best. And sometimes I feel like that's us as we are like Joseph, right? We are trying to follow God to the best of our abilities. And sometimes I need a divine interruption in the course of my daily routine and my daily rhythms for God to say to me, I see what you're trying to do, but let me show you something even better. Because God interrupts Joseph's confusion. God interrupts Joseph's attempts to walk faithfully with God. And God interrupts it with the good news that the angel has to tell him. Right? The angel tells Joseph that Mary's going to give birth to a son, and you're going to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. This is that message that we saw last week, if you were here, that what God is doing through Mary, what God is going to do through this child that we just heard about right now, that we just heard about through our kids singing these songs, what God is going to do through this child is going to alter the course of the universe forever, because it is what all of history has been pointing to, that everything that God has been doing in this world up until this point is leading to this child who is going to set the world to right, who is going to fix what is broken in the world, and that there is not one person who is going to be beyond the reach of the love of that child, and that this child is going to save us from our sins, that this child is going to save us from our brokenness and the darkness and all of the ways that this world isn't the way it's supposed to be, that God is going to fix what's broken through him and invite us into a deeper experience of his love and his grace, and to enter into that relationship with him no matter who we are, no matter what we have done, that we cannot be beyond the reach of God's love. Because of this child. Because ultimately the birth of this child, this story of Mary and Joseph, this story of Joseph taking Mary home to be his wife, ultimately it's not about kids singing, although it's wonderful to hear the kids sing. It's not about shepherds and angels. It is about a child who is one voice, one story cutting through the chaos and confusion. The one voice, the one story of a God who is fixing what's broken in this world. One voice, one story of a God who wants to be in relationship with me and with you and with you and with you, with every single one of you. God desires to be in relationship with you. And we know that because Matthew tells us that everything that happened was to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Because ultimately, the way in which God interrupts our chaos and our confusion is by entering into the reality of our lives and the reality of our world and living and walking as one of us, and living the perfect, sinless life, living the perfect life the way that we are supposed to live, so that our relationship with God can be made right, so that we can have that relationship with God, so that we can have hope for the present and for eternal life, that we are promised that through this child who is God with us, that we can have a relationship with God. But sometimes the problem is that we are making choices that are taking away from that relationship. Sometimes our life is on a path headed towards darkness and chaos and confusion. It's the darkness and chaos and confusion that we've created. And friends, I want you to hear me say this morning that no matter what is happening in your life, no matter what choices you have made, no matter how many times you've tried to stop the addiction, no matter how far gone you think you may be, none of us, not one of us, is beyond the reach of God's love. The good news of Christmas morning, the good news of the birth of this child is for every single one of us. For some of us, we need that hope to shine in the midst of our self-inflicted chaos. But for some of us, we need that hope to shine in the midst of our confusion, like Joseph. Like Joseph, some of us need a divine interruption to hear God say, I have something deeper and better for you. Some of us need a divine interruption to hear God say, let me redirect you just a little bit. Some of us need a divine interruption to be invited to experience more and more the way that God wants us to live. What strikes me is that Joseph, he's trying his best. Joseph is trying to be faithful to God, and so he's recognizing the heart and the spirit of God's law. But now God comes and he says, let me show you the truth of who I am and how I'm going to live in this world, and it's going to be Emmanuel, God with us. Because how God ultimately saves us from our sins is by entering into the brokenness and the darkness of our world. How God saves us from our sins is by giving himself and loving us to the point of sacrificing his son so that we can have life now and forever. God says, let me show you ultimately how you are to live. And so sometimes we need a divine interruption when we've been walking down our lives and we've been living our own sort of self-satisfied, contented life, and we need God to shake us of that and say, let me show you what it means to give of yourself. Let me show you what it means to depend on me more fully. Let me show you what it means to trust me no matter what's going to happen. This week, God interrupted my life in the best way possible. See, it's interesting, as a pastor of a church, we have the rhythms and the routines of what we do Sunday after Sunday. I have a seminary professor who was fond of saying that Sundays are like telephone poles down a highway. They just keep coming one after another after another. Right, and we're in the rhythm and the routine of church life. And then three times in a row this week, God just interrupted that rhythm to show us how he is providing, how he is going to answer whatever prayer we have when we strive to follow him, that God is right there with us. I'm going to tell you about two of them. One, up until last Sunday, there was a Christmas tree in the back with tags on it. Right, and those tags represented children with whom we have a relationship, either through Shawmut Hills Elementary, through our Kids Hope program, children, grandchildren of families within our congregation, children that we as a church wanted to help and say, we wanted to come alongside of you and support you this Christmas. Now, that went back to, it started with a staff meeting back in October or November, and as a staff, we sat down and we said, how can we follow this? And our devotions at that staff meeting today were the story of Elisha and the widow's oil. It's a great story. If you're not familiar with it, you can go look up Elisha and the widow's oil, but it's a story of God just miraculously providing so much for this woman who was in need. And we read that story and we said, what would it look like to follow God with that sort of faith? We noted as we read that story that Elisha tells the woman to go and get jars. And she doesn't just go get one jar, she goes and gets as many jars as we can. We said, what does it look like if we were as a church to go out and get as many jars as we could with faith that God is going to provide? And that's really what gave birth to this Christmas gift program. Now, we had on that tree 159 tags representing 53 kids, each one getting three different gifts, something that they wanted, something that they needed, and a book to read. 159 gifts. Now, if you know anything about how people typically operate, when you have something like that up in the back of church, the likelihood that somebody's going to grab a tag and stuff it in their pocket or in their purse or in their diaper bag and forget about it, it happens, right? The likelihood that somebody is going to go out and plan to buy a gift for somebody and then just forget about it. It happens. 159 gifts, every single one of them was back at church by Wednesday. That's awesome. Yeah. And in part, that is because this church is amazing, and this church is committed to loving and sharing the love of Jesus Christ with our community. But in part, it is because God is leading us, and God is providing, and God is making sure that when he goes ahead of us, and when we try to faithfully follow him, that God is right there with us. another story. Thursday night, we had our Kids Hope Christmas party. And this has been such an amazing thing for this church to develop relationships with our community. We have this longstanding partnership with various churches of the Grand Rapids Public School System, most recently with Shawmut Hills Public School. And God has just been opening doors left, right, and center through this program. And we could tell you so many stories of what God has done through there. But one that really stands out is Thursday night, we had the Christmas party. In the Christmas party, we get to come and we played games, we watched a movie, we ate popcorn, we ate pizza, we gave gifts. It was wonderful. One of our mentors was talking to the mom of his student, of her student, I'm sorry, talking to the mom of her student. And his mom said, "You can tell my son about Jesus. You can talk about God with him. I want you to talk about God with my son." Friends, when we ask, God answers. I could tell you more stories of just this week of God just opening doors, of the needs that we have, of the things that we said. We feel God leading us into this, God opening the door and God being right there with us. Friends, it is a divine interruption that when we think that we need to do it on our own, that God says, "I am right here with you, Emmanuel." It is a divine interruption that when we think it depends on our strength, that God says, "It is my strength." It is a divine interruption that when we think that it's just about meeting our own needs, that God is going to say, "No, you need to get out into the world with this good news." It is a divine interruption that when we think that our life is settled and on its good path, that God is going to say, "I have something even better in store for you." It is a divine interruption that if we think that where we are in life right now is all that God has in store for us, friends, I have news for you that our God is at work fixing what's broken everywhere. And if we think that where our life is right now is the best that it could be, our God is going to interrupt our life with good news that He is with us every step of the way. He is fixing what's broken everywhere. It is time to have our life interrupted by God with good news that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. Let's pray. God, when we get complacent in our faith, interrupt it. God, when we think that we need to depend on our own strength, interrupt us. God, when we think that our lives are up to our effort, interrupt us. God, when we are content with how things are instead of how things could be, interrupt us. God, shake us of our complacency. Shake us of our contentment. Shake us of whatever it is that holds us back from diving into deeper relationship with you. Help us to know that where there is chaos and confusion and darkness and hopelessness in our life, that the hope of Christmas is that your love entered into this world. Emmanuel, God is with us. Interrupt our lives, God. Interrupt our lives with the hope that you are with us and you save us from our sins. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and we all say together,